ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which apparently is good for the economy because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is Thomas Sheridan and Jay Widener. That's not street lingo for a way to make your joints fatter, by the way. And we're here to have a roundtable discussion about psychopathy. And we're supposed to be joined by James Corbett, so from the Corbett Report. And if he comes online, we'll certainly bring him in too. So firstly, we'll just introduce Thomas Sheridan, who sort of in no small part organised this little gathering. So Thomas, welcome to the program. Would you please plug your websites and give people a tiny little background on yourself?
Hi, Vinny. Yes, my website is thomassheridanarts.com. I've written two books on psychopaths, one book on social engineering. I just had a film release called The End of an Era, which you can watch for free on YouTube, or you can also find it through my channel. And I have a new radio show on Sundays called The Velocity of Now. And I'm working on a couple of books, and that's basically it for the moment. So thomassheridanarts.com.
Eloquent in its brevity. And now Jay Widener. Same to you, sir.
Let's see. I've written two books on the subject of alchemy, and I've made a few films, most recently on the works of Stanley Kubrick, the great filmmaker. And my website is jaywidener.com, J-A-Y-W-E-I-D-N-E-R. Not Joint Widener, Jay Widener.
Yes, indeed. It's important to get those very simple distinctions put out there for the listening audience to prevent confusion.
Yes.
Which, if you have a Jay Widener on you,
pass it around.
Yeah, pass it around. Now, we're talking about psychopathy, and there's a number of different interpretations of what it is. I've heard some people say that psychopathy doesn't exist, like it's a made-up disease, like ADHD or bipolar and things like that. Other people say it's about demon possession, that you're actually possessed by some sort of non-human entity. Other people say it's simply a psychological condition whereby you can't have empathy for other people. And my interpretation of which is relatively unclear at this point. I'm not 100% sure, but what I do know is that you can identify psychopathic behavior. There's all these keys and things of this nature where you can spot and identify these types of people and their behaviors. So, Thomas, where would you like to start with this?
I just want to say hello. Hi, Jay, by the way.
Hey, Tom. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, same here. Listen, well, psychopaths absolutely do exist, because if they didn't exist, you know, we'd probably be living in a fairly decent world.
Yeah.
I think the social, economic, political, psychological condition of the human race is absolutely a reflection, and spiritual, is absolutely a reflection of having been savaged by the psychopathic entity, archetype, whatever you want to call it. As for it, you know, being a made-up thing like ADHD, well, no, it hasn't. It's been around a very long time. It was actually identified long before the invention of psychiatry or psychology. And if you want to look into allegory and motif, my God, it just falls off the pages of everything from children's fairy tales to Gnostic scriptures to medieval documents to Celtic, Native American, Vedic, you name it, Taoist. It just pours off the vast canon of mythology and folklore, you know, because you have to understand that psychology in a pre, you know, modern age was folklore, was mythology. That's what mythology really was. And so it's been there forever. It's never not been with us. It's still with us. It'll probably always be with us. But the thing is, now we finally have, I believe, the toolkit to tackle it. In the same way that I was reading recently about Brunelleschi, the Italian artist or architect, and it was the discovery of perspective that gave rise to the Italian Renaissance, the ability to actually picture the functioning of the world in three dimensions on paper rather than two, launched a whole new direction for humanity. And I believe the same thing is happening with the psychopathic issue right now. Everyone seems to be tapping into it at the moment. Some real, you know, strange people have been getting into it, but they're probably just, you know, they're trying to divert from the necessary, you know, evolutionary impetus that's going on here. But we finally have an understanding that pulls all these things together, and it's giving us a perspective, a true perspective, a psychological, a social, an economic, neuroscience, and even the ability to understand that these things exist in the streets with us. And then we work with them, we live with them, we know them, we've encountered them, and then we can scale this experience up, you know, to the macro level, and then boom, suddenly a world that never made any sense is now making sense. And I believe that's what's happening right now. That's why we're having this show tonight. That's why so many people are talking about it now. This is why the control system is very eager to trivialize or put this thing down or distort it. We're getting perspective on an issue that there is a predatory sort of archetypal human being, hominid, predator, whatever you want to call it, that actually lives amongst us, that probably represents, you know, a fairly small percentage of the human race, but ultimately causes colossal damage, because anyone who's been affected by a psychopath knows that one single psychopath through the course of their life can affect, damage, and ruin hundreds of lives. So my attitude is they're here. We're finally getting used to their existence. We're ready to take them on, and you know, game over for them.
Now, I was just having a conversation before the show today with Baran Hines, another radio show host, and we were talking about how there are certain radio show hosts in the truth movement who actually fit this archetypal psychopathic grid to a T. And what we found very interesting is that good radio show hosts who are kind, decent-hearted people like us don't have quite as large a following as these psychopathic radio show hosts. And we theorized that that's because psychopaths are very cunning manipulators, able to deceive large quantities of people simultaneously. Jay, what would you say to that?
Well, I agree completely. That's exactly right. And the systems that we are under were in large part created by psychopaths. That's the real problem. I really agree with Thomas on what he's saying. I think we're at a real pivot point here in human history because of the internet and because of video cameras and things. We're becoming accustomed to micro expressions on human faces and listening to the way the timbre of the voice changes, neurolinguistic programming, and all these things are out there, and these are helping us to identify this very small group of people who causes nothing but serious damage everywhere. And the and what I'm hoping maybe comes out of this, or maybe out of the future, is we as a collective begin to ID these people in a public way, and also explain what a psychopath is. My brother is a psychologist, and he didn't know what a psychopath was. I had to tell him actually what it was, because it's kind of written out of the psychological literature. They don't really have.
I would theorize that's because psychopaths started the profession known as psychiatry. But go ahead.
But they did, exactly right. And I would say put Freud at the top of this. I don't think Jung was a psychopath, but I know Freud was. And we can identify their behaviors. And once we identify their behaviors and put them out front, then there's nothing that they can do. And I'm watching, you know, I've watched several psychopaths kind of eat the dirt here in the last few years because they got outed. And but you never underestimate their the ability of a psychopath to manipulate the truth, even when you're exposing them. It's truly amazing. I know Thomas and I both had dealings with a singular psychopath who actually writes about psychopaths, but is in fact herself a psychopath. And you can tell. I had an incident, a year ago or so, where a very famous friend of mine and I were out, and his girlfriend, who was a psychopath, literally followed us in her car at 70 miles an hour, 1 foot behind our car. And no matter what speed we went, she would always be 1 foot or, maybe a meter behind our car. And I looked at her, and she had this insane look in her eyes. Well, later, I came up to her, and I said, "Why were you doing that? You could have killed us." And she said, "Oh, you would have never been killed. I'm a great driver." That's a psychopath. A psychopath can do something horrendous, and then when faced with it just takes any consequences and says, "Oh, that could never have happened." In her mind, she could have driven out of that incident somehow, where not even the best race car driver in the world could have survived an incident like that. And this is how they think, and they're casual about their psychic violence, I guess you could call it.
Now, also, one of the dangers of exposing psychopaths, and I've experienced this myself along with Suzanne Posel for exposing a psychopath, is their capacity for retaliation. The fact that, like people like us, we have a thing called morality. We have a thing called ethics. There are certain things that we stop ourselves from doing because we know that they're wrong. Whereas these people don't have that mechanism.
Right.
They take the brakes off, as it were. Thomas, could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's absolutely spot on. Their capacity for retaliation almost spreads like an infection. You see, no psychopath can survive on its own. If you put a psychopath on a desert island that was full of fruit and vegetables and things to eat and shelter, they'll be dead in a few days, because a psychopath is completely enabler dependent. There's no such thing as an autonomous psychopath. They can't be alone. They're constantly bored, so they're always seeking stimulation. And what happens is a psychopath will eventually surround themselves with enablers. And the purpose is to find the most servile sort of pathetic maggots they can find to become almost fanatical about serving the psychopath's agenda. I mean, they will literally surround themselves with the bottom of the barrel, absolute human garbage. And these are people who actually glory in their being shackled under the yoke of this creature who really can't actually provide them with anything meaningful in their lives. Everything will just be as fake as what they are, and will only feed the pathology, and that's the only reward they'll ever get from it. Ultimately, no matter what they do or think they're winning from it, all they'll ever be is an enabler. I'll give you an example. Jimmy Savile, the serial killer pedophile, who I believe is a serial killer, and I've recently done an investigation into him, and I can actually prove now, I think he was a serial killer back in the 1970s, the BBC presenter. He had a whole plethora of these kinds of weirdos who hung around them, supplying him stuff. And some of these weirdos went up as far as senior management within the BBC. So yes, their ability to retaliate is based not so much on what they do, but the ability to fire up and send their sort of like rabid pack dogs, servile maggots, sort of like the most psychotic individuals, the most pathetic basket cases they can find, to do it for them. And that way, if anything hits home really bad, like in terms of fallback, it's never directly taken by the psychopath themselves, but sort of this is the only thing a psychopath equally distributes, is the chaos they cause, and the backlash from that chaos is equally spread among the enablers and among the servants, who ultimately do not get the same rewards. The psychopath is ultimately laughing at them all and calling them suckers in their minds and thinking they're just fools, because ultimately that's what they are. So that's what the retaliation is. They're a pack dog's wired up, so they take the heat if anything goes wrong, and the psychopath is in the middle laughing at everyone, like a demented sort of the orchestra conductor.
Yeah, because psychopaths are basically cowards, and they hide behind all sorts of artifices to protect themselves, and you know, we have to start realizing that, you know, the people that run most of our corporations and the people that run our militaries and most of the politicians, these are the kind of professions that psychopaths gravitate to. And so we've got to rethink how we choose these people, because they are going towards any job that pays a lot of money and doesn't have a lot of responsibility, and also in which they can get these people to, these enablers to do their dirty work. And that's the problem, is you can't corner these guys very easy.
Okay, well, that's a good place to leave this particular segment. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break. And it appears to me, at least anyway, that they really only have a couple of desires. Power, control, wealth, really. That's really all they want. And we'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seems. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's a network with integrity, with heart, and honesty, and decency, unlike psychopathy. Now, I was looking at a image on Facebook the other day, and it says, "This is what a psychopathic killer looks like." And I'm putting it on the image behind me. So it's a picture of the Joker, okay? Looks real psychopathic and creepy, right? And then it said, "This is what a real psychopath looks like." And it had a picture of the U.S. Congress. Yeah, and it's just like, oh, that encapsulates it just so well, doesn't it? Because, you know, people don't realize that it's the power centers where these people cluster, okay? Like, the U.S. Medical Journal published an article, I think what was it, 2002, I believe. It said that a psychopath is normally a smiling, friendly person when you first meet them who's rather enchanting, but ultimately has no real depth to their personality and not too many long-lasting relationships. And it goes on to say that the three most likely places you are to find a psychopath and where they gravitate towards is business, media, and politics. And it occurred to me, oh my God, those are the three most influential areas on how society is structured and run. And so hence, society in itself has been structured to be a psychopath's playground. They can kidnap kids. They can defame people in court. They can destroy people's lives and operate with absolute impunity, because all the authority figures who are supposed to prevent that kind of scumbaggery from happening are the very scumbags who caused it to happen in the first place.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
You could go back to any parliament in the world, like New Zealand Parliament, the Irish Parliament. It's reflected everywhere. This is the whole system's wired that way. That list that you originally read out, that actually came from University College London. I have the original report there. And the other professions right underneath that were religious guru, new mainstream newspaper journalist, and lawyer. And the professions that had the least numbers of psychopaths in it were things like artists, people who look after disabled children, nurses, and school and primary school teachers. So you can really see how society is upside down. They reward the ones who don't do anything for the world, and they punish the ones who actually do, economically.
Does this imply that psychopaths have a higher level of intelligence than say, the average person? They're capable of doing these intelligence or repetition-intensive careers?
Well, don't confuse intelligence with deviousness. It's a different thing.
Ah.
They're devious. It's very different. And devious, couple deviousness with a lack of compassion and an inability to put the brakes on when they want what they want, and you have a ruthless formula for survival in the West in this current system.
Yeah, the ancient Gnostics, they called psychopaths archons, and the archon in Greek means ruler. So the implication, of course, is that the people that are ruling us are psychopaths. And the Nag Hammadi text, you know, explicitly warns us about these creatures. And so we have to realize that psychopathic behavior is the symptom it's the overt symptoms of what these archons are like, and we must find a way to stop them. That's really the key to our survival as a species at this point in the game. We have to find a way to out them, to stop them. You can't shame them. They don't have any emotions, so it's almost impossible to do anything with them except throw them in jail. That's how serious they are. And even in jail, they'll turn that situation into a psychopathic situation.
Because they'll have a whole bunch of dupes around them that also went to jail for not being smart enough to get away with their crimes, and they'll see these people as legends, as people that they want to follow and emulate, isn't it?
That's right. They do. In fact, I would say every gang leader is probably a psychopath. Every you know, the head of the police is probably a psychopath. I'm not saying they all are, but I'd say in most cases you're going to find that the person who's in charge of most of the major institutions in our world are psychopaths. Unfortunately.
Yeah, and of course, society is a result of something. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It almost functions like an infection.
Yes.
The archontic thing is almost like an infection.
Yeah.
I mean, even the way the Gnostics spoke about it in the Nag Hammadi, they said that, you know, areas of control like Jerusalem and Alexandria in the classical world were filled with many archons, meaning the bureaucratic classes. I mean, that's my interpretation of it, but it's basically the same thing, I'd imagine. But the idea is that, to me, it's got to the point now, at this point in my life, at this point of looking at this thing for years now, that it almost seems like an infection. Now, there are sort of like primary psychopaths who would be like the purebred psychopath, the absolute ruthless predator. And the enablers become what I termed proto-psychopaths. And for years I used to say, well, it was just because of a kind of a gang structure, a mechanism. But I'm really starting to wonder now, I really am, if we're actually dealing with some kind of consciousness or spiritual infection, that this is why they all have to live in big houses with lots of servants. This is why they always have their big meetings. You ever notice that? Even with the modern-day technology, the G8, the climate change crowd, and all the others, they all have to fly to these locations, bring in lots of prostitutes, you know, meet constantly, get up real close. It's almost like they have to make constant contact, as if this consciousness needs to jump from one to the other, like literally an infection. And now it's been discovered that there are actually flukes living in the human brain that actually control our neurology, that they can actually go inside your brain and like a lancet fluke in the mind of an ant. And that a lancet fluke is an insect which invades an ant's brain, eats it out, and then drives the ant around like a robot. And it's almost like the same thing. So if you suspect strongly that you have a psychopath in your family, in your friendship, in your work circle, in your company, in your community, in your church, you get the hell away from them. You have nothing to do with them because they are literally like a toxin. If they carry this kind of like infection around them, and if they don't destroy it, but with their mind games and everything else, they'll infect others around them, and the whole gang of them will go after you. It literally is starting to seem like that to me at this point.
I totally agree with you, and also the way the infection spreads is you're an innocent person and you're dealing with a psychopath, and the psychopath does his psychopathic thing to you, and you're left with like the deer in the headlights when the psychopath is done with you. And you have two choices at that point in your life. You can say, okay, well, I learned my lesson. I'm never going to go near a psychopath again. Or, and this is where the infection comes in, you learn new behavior patterns from the encounter with the psychopath, and you become a psychopath. They literally can infect you. That's why you must get away. You cannot cure a psychopath. It's impossible. I can't tell you how many emails I get from people, my sister is this, and I'm going to work with her. And I'm going, no, don't work with her. Run. Just run, you know? There's nothing you can do about it. It's like dealing with a plague victim. You cannot save them.
And you can't go out and attack them, expose them, or send them to jail or anything, either to a large extent, can you? But the real problem is, it's like the agents in the Matrix. You run, but sooner or later, somebody's going to have to fight them.
It's true. I mean, I've gone public battling certain psychopaths, and it doesn't seem to do any good. So the only reason I do it is just to warn others to stay away. I can't seem to, you know, make the enablers go leave. I can't seem to change anything. So all I can really do is warn other innocents from getting involved.
Well, that does work, too. I can tell you for a fact, Jay, your efforts in doing that have absolutely worked big time.
Yeah, I know they have.
Once they enter into the nest, they're dead. They're essentially a walking corpse.
That's right.
Because once they've entered into the nest, even if their hearts and their minds are decent, what happens to these people is they become trapped because the primary psychopath, the hominid, the pathological hominid at the center, what the creature does is that it starts learning their deepest secrets. It starts manipulating them. It starts taking ownership of their finances. And it's really a case that they once in the nest, you literally die in the nest. Or if you do leave the nest, you literally go mad afterwards. So it's like it's a case of and the nest could be a corporate boardroom. It could be a church. It could be, you know, joining.
It could be a newsroom.
It could be anything. It could be so many things. But once, you know, the thing is to get people to understand that is the nest and do not enter. It's like literally we must create a modern kind of psychological forbidden zone where we isolate certain areas, literally like Mordor, the Lord of the Rings. And we warn people, do not enter, do not go near, do not enter this forbidden zone. It literally is like that. And let's look at the internet now, right? The internet is like the Middle Ages now. Right, you know, in the Middle Ages had crude maps, and they'd have like little drawings of like where the dragons were and where the monsters were. Well, we have to now make that on the internet, like literally on a psychological virtual way of saying, do not go into this forbidden zone, do not enter where these creatures live, or you may never come out. And then using the same techniques, tools, and motifs that our ancestors used through mythology, psychology, but bring it up to date in a modern way. This is why I'm glad Jay brought the Archons up, because that is actually the key. You know, nothing really changes in this world. All that changes is that we move off the map into new territory, but we still have to bring the same experiences and learning tools with us. And that's a primary thing for me now in my life. In fact, I will devote the rest of my life to this, to protecting good people from falling into these nested clusters, coagulations, and having their lives destroyed. That's really one of the driving things in my life now.
You know, that's such a good point that you talk about. The psychopaths, another tendency they have is they like entourages. They like 10, 15 people around them, surrounding them when they walk into a room. They, like Obama does. Obama was in my hometown a year ago during the election here in the United States, and he drove by me, his entourage. He had 300 cars in this entourage, of which leading with 50 police cars. And it was just incredible to watch it, the waste, and everything that was going on with it. I've actually begun to get really good at detecting these guys. And one of the ways that I use to detect them is they like to talk about themselves a lot. And they can't really talk about other subjects very well. And so if you bring up a subject with a psychopath, say something that happened in history or a current event or something, you watch the psychopath, because the psychopath will inevitably turn that around to something about themselves. And because they have no other world, they really aren't paying very close attention to a lot of these things. They only pay attention to the things that are within their own little distorted reality. I think that we can do just what you're saying, Thomas. We can start identifying these nests and these things and stay away. I mean, if you want to stay away from psychopaths, don't join the military. I mean, you're for sure going to be encountering psychopaths if you join the military. So there's certain things that you have to do in your life to make sure that you don't encounter them. Stay away from cults. Any kind of cult is probably being run by a psychopath.
Yeah, I do think so, and I like Thomas's idea of creating a map to show the monsters and where you're not supposed to go, like the mysterious black beast of
But another thing too is like what Jay was saying there about don't join the military. Other things too, bureaucracy. I mean, I know there's lots of dedicated public servants out there, but civil service jobs are very, very appealing to psychopaths, because just like cults and religions are, because you generally don't get fired from these jobs. They're there for life, and so they're perfect. You don't have to really perform. All you can do is play games and manipulate people. So you end up at the top of the civil service, at the top of the bureaucracy, is full of these maniacs who, you know, like the ones who ran the Soviet Union, and, you know, the Chinese Cultural Revolution took it to the extreme. But you're also seeing in places, sadly, now, like the United States, where you're absolutely seeing these kind of like maniacs being put to the top by presidents and things like that, unelected maniacs. So that's another one I would consider people to stay away from, is entering bureaucracy.
All right, we're coming to break. Stay away from bureaucracy, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's good advice just in any society. We'll be right back.
Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the Chateau de Rothschild, nestled nicely in the 33rd degree Masonic Hills of Sicily, which incidentally was where the Mafia was started by a whole group of psychopathic motherfuckers who want to kidnap children and rape them and stuff like that and get away with importing cocaine. And my former special guests are Thomas Sheridan from ThomasSheridanArts.com and Jay Widener, which is not a marijuana device. Welcome back.
I was having a thought over the show. Humor is that something that psychopaths like? Are there any psychopathic comedians?
Well, I don't know about that, but laughing and satire is the best way to get back at them, I think.
Yeah,
because you see, like Jay was saying, that their ego is really big. Right, they love having their little entourages, and they look like they're bullying and a sort of like intellectual and spiritual narcissisms. But if you can take them down with humor, it absolutely will have them running around with steam flying out their ears. And so it's very important.
That's probably not a good idea then, bro.
Well, make sure you're not in the same room with them. Don't do it in the same stage.
Yeah.
But I mean, about 15 years ago, I was a member of a group that were writing satire to take down the troubles in Northern Ireland between the Catholics and the Protestants, and we were ripping the piss out of both of them, and it was brilliant, and like to the point where it actually, we actually believe it influenced actual policy there, because they could not do or say anything without us make, and these guys are all psychopaths, without us like bringing them down, and we did it with a racist group as well. It is so important, because it's like in so many of late ancient literature and sort of like mythology, particularly in the Orient, there's even a Buddhist tradition of laughing at demons and mocking them and laughing them to get rid of them. So it's something we've always had. It's something we've always used. And you'll find that their idea of humor, it's really stupid. It's not very clever. They don't understand or get complex satire. They don't get the context of it. Their understanding of humor is very like, that's why so much Hollywood film comedy is crap. Half of them are producer psychopaths, and they wouldn't know a good joke if they saw one. So yeah, psychopathic comedians, I don't think, maybe, I guess there could be, but they wouldn't be very good.
Well, the humor would be extremely cruel, probably.
Yeah, but bullying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, psychopaths are bullies, for sure. That's another point that has to be put out here. But there's something else that needs to be pointed out, and that is that psychopaths love the centralization of power. That is, every time you see a group advocating for more centralized power, you can bet there's a psychopath at the center of that group, because that's how they can control things. If they have a centralized power, then the psychopaths are in complete control. And I believe that Marxism and communism, I believe it was, not only was it thought up by a psychopath, but I believe that every single Marxist leftist leader is and has been a psychopath, with maybe the exception of Morales in Bolivia, but the jury's still out on him. So anybody that's looking to, is advocating for the centralization of power, whether it be in the healthcare or wherever, you can bet that psychopaths are behind it.
Yeah, Marxism is the most psychopathic system ever created.
Yep.
In fact, even sort of like Marxist intellectuals who actually didn't get to run countries, some of the statements have been appalling. Like, you know, in Ireland here, George Bernard Shaw saying that people had to be, you know, humanely murdered if they didn't go along with the socialist system. And you have people, other Fabian Society ones like H.G. Wells talking about using a gas of peace to gas the citizens who would not go along with the socialist system. And Marxism was actually created by a whole bunch of aristocratic psychopaths. That's the amazing thing about it.
Yep.
It was created by, you know, fellows who lived in stately homes, super rich guys who had servants and had mansions, but they didn't develop socialism as a means to make life better for the poor. Because for years I used to believe that that's what it was. It wasn't until I actually started reading their documents. It was the aristocrats, the psychopathic elite, created socialism so the poor wouldn't bother them every so often by having revolutions. That's why they did it. It wasn't out of goodness of their hearts.
In terms of identification, I was thinking, as you're saying, you know, you wanted to create the map with the beasts that you stay away from, forbidden zones, and so on and so forth. I was thinking about two methodologies here. One being an identification bullet point methodology. Does this person live in a massive home? Yes. Does he have masses of servants? Yes. Is he a known liar? Yes. Does he crave centralization of power? Yes. Is it so on and so forth? You know, your bullet points of all of these possible things, so you can have a psychopath in your life, and then you think to yourself, maybe that person's a psychopath. I'm going to go to psychopathbulletpoint.com and go through all these and go through the checklist, and let's say there's a rating system, so let's say there's 50 symptoms, and if they get over 25 of them, then they're definitely a psychopath. If they get 10 of them or less, they're probably just a bit of a douchebag, and there's nothing that wrong with them. Something of that nature. And the other one was a psychopath identification list, whereby you will have a number of experts on psychopathy review people who have been reportedly or purportedly known for psychopathic behavior, and then do an in-depth analysis of these people as to whether or not they make the list. So you can have lists in certain areas. You can have the corporate list, so you'd have people in certain corporations that would make make the list. You could have the truther list, you know, a whole bunch of different people in the truth movement who were psychopaths. They can make the list, so on and so forth. So at that point in time, there would be a number of people who might encounter these sorts of people. And once you make the list, hey, mate, you're outed.
Yeah, you know, that could get a little dangerous, in that innocent people might get scooped up in this thing. We got to be careful. We also have to be careful that psychopaths will turn all of this around on us, because remember, if you're not a psycho, this is the number one rule that everyone has to remember. If you're not a psychopath, you cannot possibly think like a psychopath, so therefore you can never predict what they're going to do. That's the problem with psychopaths. That's why you have to get away from them, because you could have a very dangerous situation and not realize it. I wanted to touch on something that Thomas was talking about too, which is George Bernard Shaw. Now, George Bernard Shaw is he's one of the greatest playwrights that ever lived, and he's this great guy, right? Well, actually, I did an analysis of one of his plays, a play that I actually was in college, and I only recently did an analysis of this play, and it's called Major Barbara, and it's truly the most psychopathic thing I've ever read. And basically, Major Barbara is a woman who works for Salvation Army helping the poor, and she's instructed on how what she's doing helping the poor is so bad. This is the whole gist of the play, why it's such a bad thing to help the poor people, that it's almost, it's implied that it's just better to let them rot and die. And this guy, you know, is considered to be one of the greatest playwrights of the early 20th century. It's astonishing when you start reading his plays and you realize what an outright psychopath George Bernard Shaw was.
Yeah, and nobody really liked him except the British royalty. That's another thing.
I believe it.
Anything nice to say about him?
Are they capable of recognizing each other if they don't know each other?
Yeah,
like, as psychopaths.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
that happened.
So it's like a hive mind.
It's like, you know, the way I'm not putting down gay people. You know, where gay guys can tell you they have a gaydar, and they can recognize a gay guy on the other side of the street.
Yep.
In a crowded street. It's the same thing with them. They have the same kind of thing going on. Like, that happened. That was one of the first things I ever learned, when this guy admitted to me in Wall Street back in 94, I think it was, that he was a clinically diagnosed psychopath. Well, I said to him, can you tell others in the office building who are? And he says, yeah, hit this guy, that guy, this guy. And sure enough, they were the ones that gave me the creeps, are the ones that were incredibly glib and superficial. And so that was one of the first educations I got in the whole thing. Yet they do, but they don't work together. Well, they will coagulate on a common goal, but ultimately they're looking for ways to stab each other in the back. Like, no psychopath will bond with another psychopath for a common cause. They will just use them as a sort of a super enabler, but they'll cut their throats as well if they can.
Can I ask then, if that is the case, do they ever? Oh, shoot, what was I going to say? Do they don't work together in that case? Do they hate each other? And more to the point, would there ever be? You know how there's a term, turncoat, where one will break away from the entirety of their system and change sides. They would never do such a thing, would they? Because only somebody who actually cares about the greater good would use their psychopathy to identify other psychopaths and let people know.
Oh, I think they would probably identify an enemy who is a psychopath, because they don't have any scruples. So I always say that this world is going to end when the two most powerful psychopaths go at each other. And that's how this thing is going to come to an end, unless we do something about it now. Because it's an inevitability that we're going to get two psychopaths who are going to hate each other, and they're going to bring all of us down.
Well, this is what's problematic about it, because, as we're saying, we can't put out a list identifying them, because whoever puts out that list is fish food, really. You can't put out a list of which people are psychopaths, because the exact same thing would happen, and you can't tell people which psychopath to avoid, because the psychopath will find out that you're telling people to avoid them, and they'll come after you.
But they're mostly cowards, don't forget.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
They're bullies and cowards, like all bullies.
Yep.
But they, you know, what Jay was saying there about the two psychopaths, the two scorpions in the bottle at the end of the day, that's their kind of evolutionary drive, if you want to bring it down to those kinds of terms. But ultimately, the thing is that they would have to step over everybody else on Earth to get to that point. So they would have a long way to get that way. But believe me, they've come close a few times. They most certainly have. I'm really terrified of Hillary Clinton becoming president of the United States. I think we'd have a sort of like a perfect storm situation there, because she's absolutely psychopathic in the extreme.
Okay. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break. Welcome back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, scumbaggery and psychopathy, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And my very special guests, Jay Widener, Thomas Sheridan, and now joining us for the second hour is James Corbett, coming us live from Western Japan. So everybody else has had a chance to introduce themselves. James, if you would be so kind to give yourself a wee website plug and just a quick brief explanation for those who are unfamiliar about who you are and what it is you do.
Absolutely. Well, I'm James Corbett. I'm CorbettReport.com. That's C-O-R-B-E-T-T report.com. And long story short, I'm a Canadian living in Japan who's been here for 9 years now. And about 6 years ago, I started the Corbett Report website as a information resource for people to use. It's a podcast, it's videos, it's interviews, and basically I talk about all sorts of things that interest me, everything from philosophy to history to science to current events and geopolitics. And so I'm trying to be as wide a resource as I possibly can for people to draw upon.
Okay. Well, welcome to this roundtable discussion. We're very glad to have you here today. Okay. Now, where we were at the last segment is we were talking about how essentially anybody who exposes a psychopath or tries to fight them is really incurring wrath in no small form. And I was wondering what your perspective on that is. How exactly do you expose somebody who retaliates in such a way that you cannot predict the level of their retaliation?
It's a good question, and it seems to suggest its own answer, which is that the best way to starve a psychopath or someone who's trying to psychically vampire off someone else is to remove yourself from them. And of course, that creates the situation of, well, wouldn't that person just, you know, survive to fight another day and to do it to someone else in the future? And of course, there is that. But I think that when we're looking at this societally, when we're looking at the psychopaths that are running the system, I think that if we can starve them of the energy, the power that that they have through, you know, the stick of big government and the like, then unfortunately, yes, these people will still exist and they'll still be able to prey on victims, but at least they wouldn't be able to do so in such a big manner. So that would be my first approximation to an answer.
Well, let's say you've got a radio show host who's a psychopath or whatever, cunning manipulator, has a massive audience, and dupes them all, that kind of thing. And of course, anybody who comes out against them gets attacked on their much larger radio show, and so on and so forth. Would the answer be perhaps you need to be covertly speaking to people, you know, on a one-by-one basis, telling them, you know, you really don't want to be listening to that guy or whatever, because you can't just come out and release a YouTube video or do a radio show about that person, can you?
You can't, but I mean, personally, when it comes to that, my tactic is to ignore people that that are like that. I mean, I truly do just ignore things like that, because if you devote your time or energy to fighting something like that, I really think you're playing into it. You're building it up. You're making it into more than it is. And I think that we choose what we make important in our lives by what we you spend our time and energy doing. So I think, honestly, I don't bother with that. And it, and because I don't bother with it, it doesn't affect me. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. I've never had problems with things like that because I just don't give my time and energy and attention to it.
I think that's a really good and poignant explanation of the situation, isn't it, Thomas?
Well, Carl Jung in the Red Book says, I think he says something like, if you go to hell, you will become hell. So be careful not to forget where you came from. And James is right. I think we're all in, Jay, myself and James are all in consensus here tonight. Just get the feck away from these guys. Just put a wall between you and them. Do not give them your energy. However, that doesn't mean we shouldn't educate the public. So that's the other side of it. So we should have this combination. You're absolutely right when you said it should be like espionage in a way. It should be almost like the French Resistance Network saying, oh, this person might be one, this person might be one. Because I tell you something, you know, then you can leave it up to the other person to decide if they are or not, because you will get people calling perfectly innocent people psychopaths. But I think if you have the education out there, you know, it's just like we've taken on the globalists. People like Jay and James and the rest of yourself, we never had this resource before. We now have it to tackle the psychopaths as well. So I'm not totally against the witch hunt, but I am totally in favor of education and just like the whole thing, get the hell away from them. That's it.
And so if
non-compliance.
Well, let's say, for example, education has taken away this belief in witches and witch hunts and so on and so forth. So at this particular point in time, people don't get burned at the stake or drowned for being witches, because a whole bunch of uneducated people come out and have these big crazed reactions to things that they don't really fully understand. If we're talking about a psychopathic mentality that we're trying to expose here, the education of this particular mindset, symptoms, technology, etc., is in fact the way that we will starve these particular creatures of their energy. And as you said in the previous show, Thomas, you leave them away on a desert island with fruits and vegetables, and they can perfectly easily survive. They'll die in a couple of days, because they can't survive without people to manipulate, without people to control. And as you said as well, if you fight hell, you become hell. And this goes back to another thing that you said in the first hour, is that these people literally have an infection, okay, and that they can actually infect you. So if you stay away from these infected areas, you can't have that happen to you. And the key is just to, as we said, warn people covertly. Don't go after these kind of people. Just stay the heck away from them. Jay, what would your perspective on this be?
Well, I definitely would stay away from them. I don't go anywhere near them. And I have a series of tests that I give. I'm helping to run a company, and I have to hire people, and I'm very worried about hiring a psychopath, because last thing I want is one of them around me. And so I have, you know, a few things that I do to test them out, be honest with you, and it's pretty effective. I don't want to give too much of it away, because it's a very effective test, but I can say this. You could create a scenario where a possible psychopath has to be forced to apologize for something, and you observe their apology, and you will discover through their lack of apology that they're a psychopath, because psychopaths cannot apologize. Not really. A psychopathic apology would be something like, wow, I'm really sorry you feel that way. That's a psychopathic apology. A regular person, if they've done something wrong, they say, oh man, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. A psychopath cannot say those words. And that is a big weakness, and that's a way to discover them. And so we have to look at that way. For instance, Obama. President Obama can never admit that he did anything wrong. Neither could George Bush, W. He could not admit doing anything wrong. They even asked him a question at a press conference once. Is there anything that you wish you could have done better? And he's like, he just couldn't answer. It just wouldn't even register on him. So, you know, there are ways to discover these guys and who they are and what they're about. And we have to start exploring all of this so that we can root these guys out, because in the end, they're going to destroy this place.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or Tony Blair, I didn't start a war illegally. I run an interfaith foundation. How could you see? There's actually a cognitive reason for that. They actually, because they switch personas between each version of themselves. A psychopath has no internal personality structure as such. They have invented personas to manipulate situations. So the Tony Blair that started the Iraq War under false pretense is not the Tony Blair who exists now, going around the world as a holy man.
Now, what it reminds me of is an episode of South Park where they did the BP oil spill, and they had the head of BP on South Park, Tony Hayward, going, "I'm sorry." He's like naked on a bear rug while he's saying it, kind of thing. And what occurs to me is just how crazy you'd have to be in order to believe these people. Like, it's almost like you'd have to have the life experience of a child in order to believe these people to be genuine after seeing what they've done and then seeing this apology, don't you think?
Well, you know, there's an interesting thing going on in the United States right now where we have this George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin thing where this Hispanic guy shot a black kid in an apartment complex in Florida. And what's interesting about it is that the press has been completely abysmal. They report the guy as being white when he's actually from Peru and he's Native American with a black grandfather. They don't tell you that the kid attacked this guy before he shot him. It is one of the most astonishing psyops I've ever witnessed in my life. And the end result is this guy got off, got found not guilty, and we had riots all over the country. And you could actually say that the riots were instigated by the false press reports. In fact, you can say that. And so Thomas says that, you know, journalism is a place where a lot of psychopaths congregate. Well, I guarantee you that's true, and they really don't care about the truth at all.
On the screen behind me, for those who are watching on the video later, there's a picture of George Zimmerman who looks like he's had the hell beaten out of him. Do you know that I've never seen that image on the media?
No,
they
don't show it.
Don't you think that if there was any credibility in the media whatsoever to cover both sides of a court case, that the first thing they would show you is George Zimmerman's face cut up, beaten to a pulp? That would be the first thing you'd show them to show that, hey, he was beaten up before he shot the kid. Don't you think?
Yeah, unless you're a psychopath.
Accused of being racist for doing that. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Well, that's the game they play. That's how the journalists are. See, we don't. This is the reason why we exist, us four are here now, is because journalism has been dead for a long time. Mainstream journalism. And like, there was that recent... Am I still on the air?
Yeah.
There was that recent case in London, in South London, the Woolwich case, where the young soldier was hacked to death in the streets by allegedly by a Muslim guy. Now, that was a very clever psyop, because what they were trying to do was create a division within the Muslim community in England between dark-skinned black Muslims and light-skinned Arabic Muslims, in order to try and wreck the kind of like cohesion within the Muslim community. And it was very, very sick how they used the internet to whip it up. They were actually, you know, getting attractive young women, you know, English women, to Twitter and all over Facebook, fake accounts, of course, saying it's time we had a race war. I've had enough already. Let's burn down all these mosques. Now, it didn't fly, but it was. You could see how it was engineered the same way.
Yes, it was, and the same with the Jimmy Savile case. That is, you know, the epitome of power in a psychopathic nesting. And the fact that Prince Charles wrote to Jimmy and said, you know, your country will never know what you did for them. It's like, what? You know, and of course, he's going to Christmas parties with Maggie Thatcher and the Queen. And in fact, the Jimmy Savile case is actually the paragon of psychopathic cases, I think.
Yeah, we haven't even hit the depth of how depraved it got. The fact that Margaret Thatcher, one of our last acts in office was to get him a knighthood. It's huge. It goes very, very deep.
Yep.
Well, sadly,
kind of like Jimmy Savile into young children. I'm sorry, did I say that on air? I can't say that. I'm sorry.
Well, sadly, when we talk about political psychopathy, I don't think we've even begun to scrape the the bottom of the barrel of what's possible in the 21st century, like we did in the 20th century. And for people, I mean, out there who can cast their mind back to World War II, it's not only, of course, the atrocities that everyone knows about in Europe, it's the atrocities that were happening here in Asia, especially the atrocities that the Japanese were inflicting on the Chinese and the Koreans and the other people that they'd colonized at that time. And in fact, there was a unit called Unit 703 that was responsible for human experimentation and the like, that did some just horrific things, if people have the stomach to read about what they did in the name of their experimentation. They should go and read it on Wikipedia or what have you from their source of choice. But some pretty disgusting, just inhuman things that were being done, which I think represents where the psychopaths were operating, at least in the East Asian sphere back in the middle part of last century. And interestingly enough, just a few months ago, the new prime minister here, Shinzo Abe, was photographed in a fighter jet that was owned by the self-defense force of the Japanese government here. And the fighter jet that he was photographed in had a serial number, 703, that was prominently displayed right next to him. Which was clearly not a coincidence. I mean, that was clearly a wink and a nod to the right-wing lunatics here who want to go back to imperialist Japan. So political psychopathy, I mean, we have to keep in mind, this is something that's not just affects a few people. It can affect tens of millions of people and can be responsible for some of the most grisly and inhumane acts that have ever been perpetrated against human beings.
And I think the lack of understanding by the general public allows this to happen. As we mentioned before, the education level of what a psychopath is, how they act, what kind of methodologies they follow, that kind of thing. It's the lack of public education, much like education about the New World Order or 9/11 being an inside job. You know, pick your obviously mainstream media lie, it matters not, because they keep lying. That's the funny thing, is that they keep lying to cover up their scumbaggery until they get so exposed, until humanity reaches critical mass. It's like 100th monkey syndrome. You know about that symptom, don't you? 100 monkeys somewhere or in a different part of the world suddenly learn a new skill, such as putting a stick into a termite mound with their spit on the stick, and it brings out a whole bunch of termites for them to eat. And after about 100 of them figure out how to do this little trick, they find out that in completely different parts of the world, all these other monkeys figure out that exact same trick. And I believe that maybe, through shows like this, exposing psychopathy with gentlemen like yourself working as hard as you do, we might be able to reach that 100th monkey in order to expose the psychopathic hominids.
That's the plan. I think that we're all on board with that one, and that's the only way that we're going to defeat this thing, you know. And like I said before, if you're not a psychopath, you can never think like a psychopath. So don't even try.
Yeah, that's right. And I get into arguments with people, you know, I tell them about the New World Order and the eugenics campaign and so on and so forth, disinformation, false flag terrorism, and they go, no, that can't happen, you know, that's stupid, why would they do that? And it's just like, well, the reason why you think that it can't happen and wondering why they do that is because you're not a psychopathic scumbag, okay? If you did, it'd make perfect sense. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
So fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, give me a dessert. Have your dessert, you prick. Give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah. Give me whatever you got. Just more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go.
Welcome back.
You want to know what it's like?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand on the amazing American Freedom Radio Network. And so, a comedy sketch by Lewis Black talking about how long it gets to New Zealand by plane. And Thomas made a reference to sheep shagging jokes over the break. And the best response that I've ever heard to that is by a New Zealand comedian called Mike King. He was at a comedy conference in Australia once. Somebody calls out from the back of the crowd, "Sheep Shagger!" And he goes, oh, yeah, mate, absolutely. We're all sheep shaggers. At the age of 15, every young boy gets given his own sheep to shag. And then after a few years, until he reaches manhood, we export them to Australia and you bastards eat them. Just think about that the next time the gravy's dribbling down your chin. Okay. Jay Widener, James Corbett, and Thomas Sheridan are my guests today. I've really gotten dirty during this episode. It happens when I don't have enough sleep. Sorry. Anyway, speaking of dirty tactics, we were talking over the break as well, over the mentioning of certain words, certain names, and that's when the intelligence agencies click on and start to mess with you. Like, we had a show earlier today with Baran Hines. We were talking to Fritz Springmeier, exposing the bloodlines of the Illuminati and so on and so forth, and he was cutting out every, like, 15, 20, 30 seconds. He'd go for a few minutes and then be cut off again and again and again. And what's interesting is it happens so often during poignant interviews where key words are introduced that it cannot be a coincidence. What do you think about this, Jay? If you think about it, really, is there indeed an agenda to censor and or sabotage this kind of content from getting out there? And if so, how effective is it really?
Well, there is definitely an agenda. I've had many problems, and even to the point where I was on a radio show and the entire show didn't get recorded, even though the recorder was on. And so I don't know how they do that, but they do it. And so I know they do it. And the thing is, you have to remember, as you were mentioning 9/11 and, you know, all these other things that are going on in the New World Order, these are all psychopathic creations. So, I mean, it was a psychopath that did 9/11. They're such psychopaths that we actually know their names. We know the perps' names. And they're still walking around free. Apparently, they don't have to worry about anything. And same thing with Sandy Hook, which was the tragic, or maybe didn't even exist. Because here's the thing. Well, there's a lot of chatter on the internet these days about crisis actors, about that these false flag events that are going on, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, and a few others, where there's these people that appear to be the same people in different episodes, and there's a bunch of people saying, oh, there's these crisis actors, and they're involved in these fake situations, and it's causing a huge amount of controversy all over the place, and I actually even made a mistake of getting involved in this entire thing. But what if the psychopaths are using crisis actors? What if they realized, say, during 9/11, that actually killing people actually gets you a whole bunch of pissed off people investigating you, and the parents and the brothers and the aunts and uncles of the victims are a relentless quest to get you and to catch you, which is what happened in 9/11. The 9/11 victims were relentless. They would not stop. The only reason there was a 9/11 commission at all was because of the victims. Did they decide after 9/11 that they didn't want to get rabid mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers coming after them for killing people, and so they're setting up crisis actors? Well, I don't know if they are or not, but it would be exactly what a psychopath would do.
Mm. Also, the other element here is just cunning manipulation, and I see this this manipulative stance being taken by everything. For example, just recently in New Zealand, we had fluoride taken out of one of our major cities, Hamilton in New Zealand, okay? And within a day, there were dozens of editorials demonizing every single councillor. The Minister of Health comes out and says that there's these well-organized groups of disinformation agents called anti-fluoride activists that are coming out and doing this. And something clicked in my mind. I was like, whoa, hold on a second. Where have I heard this before? And I had the video on my computer of Dr. Paul Connett saying, when he was here in Auckland in February, that this is what happens as soon as instantly. He says that they are instantly attacked. And I believe that this is part of the psychopathic mentality as well, because as soon as they get exposed, they come at you from every which angle. One of the preeminent doctors, Dr. Anna Goodwin, got wrangled out an editorial hit piece on her saying that she'd been done for drunk driving once upon a time and changed her name because of it, whereas her changing her name was for a completely different reason, because she didn't have any Jewish heritage and she didn't like her Jewish last name, and it was just a coincidence that she changed her last name. So this is the kind of dirty tactics that they play. So again, it wouldn't be any surprise, and I agree with you, Jay.
Well, you can't debate a psychopath. They will not debate. You will cream them in a debate. They will never debate. I always challenge psychopaths to debates, and they always refuse because they get crushed. And so you'll see that. That's why there's never a debate about 9/11 in this country, in the United States, because the other side just won't talk about it. They won't debate you. They just crush you with ad hominem attacks.
This is true. Now, Thomas, you seem a bit sleepy there. Would you like to say something?
No, I'm not sleepy. I'm just listening. Yes, that's the thing with them and debating is pointless, because it's like, again, Jay said earlier on that they're not very knowledgeable, so they can't debate. So what they do is they attack. What they do is they'll attack you in such a way, like they'll claim you're anti-Semitic, yep, or they'll claim you're racist or homophobic, or you're intellectually you're retarded or you're moronic. So they put you in a position where they put you back, where you have to defend your humanity before you can even get to the issue being raised. That's a very psychopath. Well, a lot of jerks do it as well. A lot of, like you say, dickheads, whatever, sorry for the language, they will do that as well. But a psychopath will do it all the time. They will never meet you halfway on an issue. And in a debate, they will attack with obstructive ideas that will be designed to question your humanity, your intellect, and your decency. You will be portrayed as the devil, the Hitler, Stalin, and Charles Manson, all rolled into one. That will be how it will begin, and you will have to kind of fight your way out of that in order to get to the point being issued. My attitude is, it's the same thing with non-compliance. You don't even waste your time. You don't even waste your time challenging them, because it's not going to happen. This is why I'm so against marching and protesting and all this stuff. We need all that time and energy to do real things and real spread information and like build this underground network, which we're building.
I agree with what T said, and the whole political correctness movement, it was created by psychopaths to stop any discussion.
Yep, and feminism.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to pick up on something that you said there, Thomas, that was so really important. You said, a lot of jerks do this as well, and I think that's an important point in this. I don't know if you guys touched on it in the first hour, but I'm not sure if you talked about the psychopath-sociopath distinction. I'm sure you guys are more well-versed in that, but my understanding is that basically, psychopaths are able to create a certain section of the populace in their image, people who aren't actually naturally psychopathic, but will become and act like the psychopath in order to move up in the system. And I think that we can see that happening in society in so many ways. And so you get these jerks who will act in the similar way to the psychopaths and ape their actions. And unfortunately, that creates this cadre around
them. Yeah, we covered that in the first hour.
Okay.
Proto-psychopaths, yeah. The infection spreads.
Right, exactly right. Well, can I just go back for a second? Because I first of all want to correct the mistake I made in the last segment where I talked about Unit 703. Of course, it's actually Unit 731. So for anyone who got onto startpage.com and started looking that up, you might want to type in 731, not 703. But I just want to read an interesting little passage from a review of an NHK documentary about that I think is quite revealing about the psychology. It says, I saw a documentary done about the ex-doctors and soldiers from Unit 731 in NHK and Asahi TV. I thought it was horrible. They were doctors from Kyushu University, and these doctors were conducting vivisections of Filipino villagers. They wanted to test amputation procedures in preparation for Japanese patients. What they did was capture Filipino villagers and cut off their limbs without anesthesia, because that was needed to be preserved for Japanese soldiers. The young doctors who were recruited were confessing their experiences. He was told to assist a surgery for his senior surgeon, and according to him, some of the Filipinos died right away because of the shock of the overwhelming pain. He said that he couldn't take it and he walked out. Anyway, he was already in his 80s. At least he seemed remorseful. But this other surgeon just made me angry. I sensed some pride or lack of remorse in his statement. He was smirking, saying that it was a doctor's nature to want to perform human experimentation. So I think that's a pretty vivid image of what the psychopath would look like and act like in that situation, and the way they try to justify it in their mind. Well, of course, it's just natural doctor inclination to want to perform these types of experiments on people. So that's unfortunately, I think, what we're up against.
Now, you also mentioned this, what was it called, political correctness and things, so you can't talk about it. And it was very interesting because I mentioned the George Zimmerman case and then people call me racist. And then I mentioned the eugenics agenda of Planned Parenthood to exterminate the blacks. And then they said that I can't comment on it because I'm not a woman and it's a woman's right to choose. And so I wrote this Facebook post: white people can't talk about black people. Men can't talk about women. Sick people can't talk about medicine. Laymen can't talk about the law. Poor people can't talk about business. And so on. And all this is a mechanism to keep people fighting with each other so the super elite billionaires can get away with exterminating us and making off with all the fracking money and power. And then somebody says Australia finds $20 trillion of oil. And I said, you can't say that because you're not an oil man. And then he says, leave it in the ground because fossil fuels will end so. And I say, you can't talk about that because you're not a fossil. And another guy says, and we the people paid for the power utilities that they somehow sell to privateers and sometimes they still are public owned. Then the thanks we get is an overpriced service that we own. Something is wrong here. And I said, but you can't say that because you're an electricity consumer. And he says, yes, great point. Madness rules the day. And I said, you can't talk about madness because you're sane. And he says, can I say that? Because I don't rule, but I may be mad. Damn mad. And I said, you can't ask, can I say that? Because you can speak. And he says, lol, so are you saying I can't have a say? Damn, I thought we lived in a free country. Maybe it's only a free country if one shuts the frack up and has no opinion. Why, if that were true, would we have a police force full of muck, a corrupt judiciary, an elite banking oligarchy, and generations of disenfranchised and disillusioned people? And I said, you can't say that because you're not part of an elite sociopathic scumbaggery clique that abuses and rapes babies while donating to children's hospitals. And he goes, doll. And I said, you can't say that because you're not Homer Simpson. And he goes, bugger. And I said, you can't say that because you don't drive a Hilux pickup truck. And it's nicely stated, mate. Keep up your loud and exposing work. And I said, you can't say that because you're not my employer. And he goes, ha 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 ha. And I said, you can't say that because you're not a comedian. And it just goes on and on and on. This exact same type of methodology is what I'm trying to expose here, is that whenever you start accusing people, and Thomas, this is a brilliant point that you raised up. Don't even try to defend yourself. I think fight fire with fire. Somebody accuses you of being racist, just to completely ignore it and keep going on explaining whatever information you want, right? Is that a methodology that works?
Yeah, it's just like I don't care. It's like I won't let them, because people say to me, well, how dare you? I've actually had people say to me, how dare you write two books on psychopaths? You know, a psychiatrist, psychologist, a neurosurgeon might say, well, I don't care. I just don't care. And they're actually quite shocked by that because they're expecting me to sort of like defend myself. And I just say, look, fair enough, I don't care. You know, I just don't. If you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, that's okay. And that really that's really what it comes down to, you know. I don't care.
Yeah. And then this person goes on to tell me, okay, you win. I accept your position as fact and give in. And I said, now you can say that. You know, and this is something that we went back to earlier. You know, if you satirize these people, that's basically your best defense. James, do you have anything to weigh in here?
I agree completely that satire is probably the most effective way of dealing with it. Not for the psychopaths themselves. Obviously, there's no hope of reform there. But for the people who are caught up in their psychopathy and their crazy delusions, I think it can help to snap people out of that and to realize just how absurd what they're saying or doing is. So I definitely agree that laughter can be a good medicine in that case.
Now, also, I believe that this is probably the reason why I'm here to do what I'm doing, because I don't see a whole lot of other radio shows out there who base their show predominantly with humor, but also talk about very serious information. And in fact, I had somebody criticize me the other day and say, Vinny, I'm sick of your comedy angle. And you know what's interesting? How many Truth or Radio show hosts have a predominant focus of humor on their show?
It's a pretty serious business, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, so if you don't want to have fun and have a few laughs while you're doing this kind of thing, I can assure you there are innumerable other shows you can listen to if you don't want to have fun. Okay? Go for your life. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. My very special guest, James Corbett from the Corbett Report, Thomas Sheridan, and also Jay Whitener. Back in just a few minutes, folks. Don't you go anywhere. You know, Knights of Cydonia by Muse, I think, is actually the perfect song to play in the final segment here. You and I must fight to survive. And this is true, and it's becoming a real hassle to live in today's world because of the quite massive influence of psychopathic scumbaggery upon the laws which are passed everywhere. And my very special guests, James Corbett, Thomas Sheridan, and Jay Widener. Now, I'd like to get you guys to plug your websites one more time in the final segment here before we wrap it up. So, James Corbett, would you please go first?
That would be CorbettReport.com, C-O-R-B-E-T-T report.com, and that's the one-stop shop for all my work, including my videos, my interviews, and my other website, FukushimaUpdate.com. All of that is found there.
Mm-hmm. Thomas?
Thomas Sheridan, arts.com. That's also my one-stop shop for my films. My new radio show on Sunday called The Velocity of Now, and my blog.
Enjoy.
You can read my articles on jwidener.com, and you can buy my films at sacredmysteries.com, and that's it.
Now, final points to wrap up in terms of either personal experience or, in fact, you know, personal experiences aside, because if you've got personal experience with psychopaths, they won't like you talking about them and they might come after you. So, one at a time, I'd like to hear the juiciest nugget of information, something that either that actually was a very profound experience for you, and don't mention any names when it comes to psychopaths. James, could we start with you?
I don't know if I have a personal experience like that at all, which is exceptionally lucky of me, or at the very least, maybe I'm just the type of person who doesn't attract that into my life, because again, I don't tend to give that meaning or power. But something I would like to say in conclusion, I think that as we move towards the technocratic tyranny that's possible now, I think that the importance of the fight against the psychopaths who are at the top of this system is more important now than I think it ever has been in human history, because we're moving into a period of time where there's at least the possibility for 100% enforcement of law through the technological means to spy on everyone and what they're doing at all times. And that raises, I think, the absolute dream of the psychopathic class, the psychopathic core, who desperately want to have that kind of 100% control over human action generally. And I mean, anyone who doesn't understand the value of at least being able to theoretically break whatever laws exist in order to fight against the system, I think have a complete lack of imagination and probably are psychopaths themselves. So that to me is, I think, one of the most worrying aspects of the time we're living in, and why I think it's more important now than ever to remove these levers of control, to dismantle the NSA and all of these other spy agencies before they really do become the de facto rulers of the world, as they already believe themselves to be in their own mind.
Mm, I completely agree. Jay?
Well, I mean, I don't really have. I try to avoid psychopaths as much as possible. Unfortunately, I'm in the business world, so that's not possible. I really don't have. I do have encounters with psychopaths. I'm not as lucky as other people on this panel. But generally, I make jokes about them and try to avoid them. But I completely agree with James about what's going to be happening here with the national security state, which has, of course, been created and run by psychopaths to control us. And we need this is the turning point for the human race. We either turn this around right now or we fail as a species.
Mm-hmm. It's like Bad Boys 2. We ride together, we die together, bad boys for life. Now, Thomas, what about you?
I agree with both Jay and James. I agree with both of them. I would just say that, like, I'm delighted with the absolute consensus. Well, not absolute, but the consensus, the general consensus here tonight that we have nothing to do with them, no contact ever again. We have no compliance with the control system. I don't vote anymore. Do things like support local businesses, spend cash, you know, things like that. Don't deal with big corporations or anything that can be seen as psychopathic. Don't feed them online. Don't, as I said, build the roadmap or to warn where they are on the internet and how they function. And satire, humor, it will demolish them. I have big plans for that in the future. I may be working with some Hollywood people to actually do a film, and they've been approached. And so if it all comes out, and it's early days yet, I am, you know, very willing to and very looking forward to, well, I've already kind of given them most of the material anyway. So I think it's going to happen. I think it's satire, if we can tear them to pieces with satire, and we can really humiliate them and ridicule them. You see, remember, like I always said, when you finish a game of cards, the joker is always the card that trumps the court cards. Top of the king, the queen, and the jack, and all the other cards in the deck. So I think there's a real metaphor there for how to deal with the psychopaths and the psychopathic control system.
Who are incidentally often kings, queens, and jackasses.
Yeah.
Another thing,
masquerade as aces, what they do.
Another thing that's important right now is that because of people like Thomas exposing this whole thing, they're starting to get a little bit worried. They didn't count on this happening, and so you're going to see counter propaganda to what we're saying. Coming. It's already starting. There's a Hollywood movie, Seven Psychopaths, which kind of portrays him as being cute and lovable, and so you're going to see more and more of this stuff as we corner these guys, and you're going to see more and more.
On that note, can I just ask Thomas or Jay, have you stomached John Ronson's psychopath test? I've never actually brought myself to actually read it, but I assume it's exactly that type of hit piece.
When my book first came out, myself and Ronson were asked to do together an article for Playboy magazine, and I refused because I said I didn't want to really be feeding Hugh Hefner. And guess who accepted the article and got a politically correct Mr. Ronson? So there's another book that's come out called The Wisdom of Psychopaths. Have you heard about this one? That's now telling us that psychopaths are wonderful and this is what we need to aspire to, and where would we be without them? Whoa. So that's the counter propaganda that Jay is talking about. On the other hand, the intelligence services are also feeding certain elements within the alternative community, the more dysfunctional elements of it, the cult elements, and actually funding them to kind of take ownership of the psychopathic issue in order to spin it off into like vampires and space aliens and things like that, rather than dealing with it for what it really is. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a spiritual or demonic or any other aspect to it. There may very well be. I don't know. But I'm just saying the only way we're going to deal with this is in the real world, as, you know, a real battle plan. So the counter-propaganda has begun. And I think it really shows that we have the rat backed into a corner.
I agree.
I wanted to then close off by saying this. I mean, we're not finished the show just yet, but Thomas has really put himself out there, and indeed, has, in my opinion, done more to expose the psychopathic mentality in an incredible way that is not only undeniable, but it's listenable and understandable. And as a direct result, I fear, based upon this broadcast, that there may be attacks upon your character. There may be these editorials and so on and so forth. And this kind of thing happens all the time. As I mentioned in the previous segment about people who remove fluoride get attacked by the fluoride lobby and so on and so forth. So I wanted to encourage the listeners to help protect these people who are trying to expose these very dangerous people, whether that be by making sure that you flag comments that are abusive and things like that on the YouTube videos, or by reporting, blocking people, that kind of thing. Anybody who stands up and says that Thomas Sheridan is a bad person for doing this, or Vinnie Eastwood is just a scumbag for doing this, and he's this, that, and the other, James Corbett is a stupid person, etc., Jay Widener is crazy, he believes in such, and blah, blah, blah. Flag those comments for spam. Block those people, because that's how you get rid of a psychopath. I'll be removing those comments from my YouTube channel. I'll be exposing scumbaggery and so on and so forth. Just get rid of these people and help those who are informing you about the topic. Do not support, do not read, do not listen to those who are launching this kind of counter-propaganda, because it is counterintuitive to any kind of decent humanity.
And they're also trying to waste our time. They want us defending ourselves rather than working on our important work. They don't want Jay doing what he does, James and myself and you. And that's where our focus is. We have to keep our eye on the prize and not be dealing with these Muppets.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, you really do just have to ignore it. And, you know, you don't get in this game with a thin skin. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about their attacks.
All right. And as I say, there's a reason why YouTube and Facebook have a block function. Because somebody comes at you with this kind of stuff, you say block, and then you never have to hear from the motherfucker again. Thank you guys for your time. James Corbett from CorbettReport.com. That's Corbett with two T's. It's not CorbettReport.com. Jay Widener from JayWidener.com. SacredMysteries.com. And also Thomas Sheridan from thomassheridanarts.com. Gentlemen, thank you for your time, your wisdom, and your capacity to expose scumbaggery. I'm deeply honored and so forth.
Thanks for having us on.
Night, guys. Brilliant.
And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Please share the show.